Welcome back, friends. The eighth door, the kingdom already given. And there are two lines for this last one, because it's considered as one beatitude, even though there are two lines. Matthew 5:10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you. Jesus concludes the Beatitudes by returning to the promise which he began. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he repeats and intensifies the promise, addressing his disciples directly. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and speak falsely against you because of me. This repetition is deliberate. It forms an inclusio, a framing device that encloses the entire Beatitudes within the same promise. The kingdom of heaven is named at the beginning and at the end. So, the book ends there. Revealing that everything in between described life already lived within that kingdom. This final Beatitude speaks directly to confusion about how to live. Jesus does not offer a strategy for avoiding opposition or a technique for preserving comfort. He clarifies the shape of Christian life when it is faithful. Righteousness, as Matthew consistently presents, is not private virtue, but visible obedience to God's will. When that obedience encounters resistance, the disciple is not outside of God's plan, but standing precisely where the kingdom is present. It also addresses exhaustion. Many grow weary because they expect peace to come from harmony with the world. This beatitude corrects that expectation. Catholic commentary, endorsed by Scott Hahn, emphasizes that persecution is not something to seek, but something that naturally follows fidelity. The promise Jesus gives is not relief from difficulty, but belonging that cannot be revoked. The kingdom is not postponed until conditions improve, it is already given. The loss of joy that marks so much of contemporary Christian life is also confronted here. Joy in this beatitude is not emotional enthusiasm or optimism. It is the deep assurance of communion with God in continuity with the prophets who came before. Matthew presents persecution not as failure, but as confirmation that one's life is aligned with God's saving work. The disciples' joy rests not in approval, but in participation. Finally, this beatitude satisfies the desire for something clear, simple, and deep. There is no additional demand added at the end, no new rule, no hidden condition. Jesus simply reveals that fidelity may be costly, but the kingdom remains intact. Nothing spoken against the disciple can undo what has already been given by God. By ending where he began, Jesus teaches that the Beatitudes are not steps leading somewhere else. They are a description of life inside the kingdom from first to last. The final door does not open onto a new demand or a final test. It reveals what has been true all along. The kingdom has already been given, and it cannot be taken away. The sermon does not end by sending the listener out with instructions. It ends by situating them within the kingdom under the Father and in the company of those who've gone before the kingdom of heaven. Those who were misunderstood, resisted, and even rejected for the sake of righteousness are not on the margins of God's plan. They are at its heart. And so the final word is not exhortation, but assurance. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I chose not to have an action item because we're going to rest in this assurance that the kingdom has been given to us. And maybe that's the action item. that we just rest in the assurance theirs is the kingdom of heaven, here and now, where we are, in the nitty-gritty of our lives.
Yeah, and when persecution comes, when suffering comes, only a person of a Christian mindset, only a person who is living within that kingdom can recognize it as the confirmation that they've chosen the right path. I mean, it is a paradox. You know, because the world wants to tell you that, oh, everything should be smooth and gravy and nice, but that's heaven. Right, we at this point, I mean, even in the Beatitudes, the best that you can hope for is satisfaction. Right? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, satisfactory was a C. I mean, that was the choice, right? But it is there's so much consolation in the life of a Christian to know that these times are already anticipated by God and provided for him with, you know. What do you call those? The graces that, you know, the grace that comes before the sin, you know, preternatural or something like
Supernatural.
that, right? And that is of great consolation, right? That, you know, that when your life is rightly ordered, when you are seeking justice, when you're hungering and thirsting for the right things, when you're poor in spirit, when you're meek, all of those things are going to situate you firmly within the kingdom of heaven. And how do I know where I am? Well, I'm going to be persecuted for those very things that are my consolation.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, my friends, there's some food for you.
The Beatitudes leave us speechless, right? At the end,
They do leave us
become
speak.
silent. One falls silent before so great a mystery.
Yes. And there, we would never have figured it out if we had not been told.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We aren't that clever. I say that so often, and it's true, we aren't that clever. All right, my friends. Till the next time, be dace, et ratio.